Welcome to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I am your host, Mia Moran. Moms have the power to change the future, one meal at a time. The Plan Simple Meals podcast is for busy moms who want to create a healthier, happier home. Listen in for informative conversations and valuable strategies to make meals healthy, meaningful, and fun. Let's do this.
Hey, busy mamas, it's Mia here. Welcome to this episode of the Plan Simple Meals podcast. I am super excited. This is day three of our 7-day interruption to the normal schedule, where I'm taking you through altogether 49 doable changes that you can implement into your life, not all at once, but one at a time. And here's the concept. Really getting healthy as a family can be a big lifestyle change. I definitely experienced that. But no matter how unsurmountable, big, whatever it may feel, overwhelming, focusing on one doable change at a time can really help us to take small steps towards a big goal. So this healthy lifestyle that we're creating is really made of lots of little things that when repeated over and over again, add up to make this huge impact in our lives. So here's the idea behind doable changes, is that each week you choose one. You choose one thing, just that one thing to focus on, and you let that one thing pull you forward, and you experiment with it, and you play with it, and you figure out how it's actually going to fit in your life. So you know, the first day you might try something in the morning and that doesn't work so well. So then you try it before dinner. You know, you're playing around and you're figuring out how to actually make these things fit. Because if they don't fit, you're not going to do them in the long term. Got it? So today we're focusing on 7 doable changes that really will affect your experience in the kitchen and around the house. So again, as I've repeated on the other ones, over the course of these 7 days, I'm sort of expanding on 49 of 101 changes that I've created for you that you can pick from in a document that you can download if you go to plansimplemeals.com/101changes. That's the number 101 changes. And you can get that document there. And in these 7 episodes, I'm just, you know, giving a little strategy and tidbits around 49 of the ones that called off the pages to me as I was recording these podcasts. So, but just because I'm giving you all of these changes in a row and in a document does not mean that they are 100 things that you're supposed to add to your to-do list this week. That is not the point. The point is that you have this document and you look at it once a week and you sort of scan over it, and something is going to jump out at you, either when you're reading the document or when you're listening to this, and you're going to be like, oh, that could make an impact in my life. Maybe I should try that. And you're going to try it for the week, and then you're going to see how it feels. You're going to try it different ways. You're going to try to have fun with it. And then hopefully you'll have a new system that's part of your life as you move into the next thing you're going to focus on. And sometimes, and this is the reason why it's only a week and why we're trying to have a playful attitude with it, because sometimes you're going to try something that, you know, may not impact your life that much. And so that just gives you permission to say, like, I tried it, I did it for a week, and maybe I'll try it again sometime. But for right now, that's not one of the ones that I'm going to put in my toolbox. All right. So let's dive into today's 7 doable changes. So again, we're talking sort of kitchen appliances, things that make the space actually easier. So number one on my list is get yourself a high-speed blender if you don't already have one. So when I talk about food, a lot of times I talk about things that you can throw in the blender. Blenders make it so easy to ditch some of those foods that we don't want in our bodies, like high amounts of sugar. You can make amazing smoothies that are dairy-free. You can make amazing things with nuts that aren't smoothies, that are like dips and sauces and soups that use nuts and avocado and all sorts of other things for the creaminess effect. And this blender really helps. So I have a Vitamix. I love my Vitamix. If you go to the plansimplemeals.com website, I have definitely a special deal on a Vitamix. I highly recommend getting a refurbished one, which all that means is that somebody at Vitamix has used it in a couple demos and then they've cleaned it up, and usually they even give you a new pitcher for the top. So it's like new. It's pretty much like new, but it's a bit cheaper. And then with my discount, you basically get $50 off because you don't pay for the $50 of shipping. So they're heavy. And it is an investment. It is, I think, $300 for the one that I recommend, which is the 5200. But I use this thing, you guys, like 3, sometimes 5 times a day. It makes my life so much easier. It saves me so much time. And I've had it, I guess I've had it for over 10 years. Right before it was 10 years old, something, a little glitch happened, and I sent it back and they sent me back like a new base. So amazing company, amazing product. You'll definitely get your money's worth. So whatever that looks like, if that's your doable change and you don't have the $300, so it's not like you buy it that week, then maybe it's that you start saving for it that week, or that you put it on your vision board, or that you tell somebody that you're really trying to get this thing. So that's, or you borrow one for a week and see how you can use it. Borrow one from a friend who says that they never use theirs, and then teach them how to use it after. All right, enough of sounding like a blender commercial, but that is definitely number one on doable changes that will make your kitchen life so much easier and happier. Okay, number two is another thing, and this is investing in sharp knives and keeping them sharp. So if you choose this as your weekly thing and you're not ready to go out and invest in knives, then maybe you start with the keeping it sharp part. But sharp knives make a big difference. We just got back from this book tour, the road trip in the fall, and I have to say, as I went from house to house, because we stayed in a lot of people's houses, I definitely noticed a difference in how I showed up to like cut fruit, and if I showed up to cut fruit, based on whether or not there were sharp knives. It just makes it a lot easier. And yeah, and a podcast is coming up when the interviews start with an amazing woman named RB, and she does a whole part on how she taught her daughter to cut with a knife. So you guys, we need good knives, and we can teach our kids to cut with them too, and we don't have to be worried. And sharp knives are just an amazing tool that I wouldn't have known were so important if I hadn't of met my husband, who needs his knife sharp and is always sharpening them. And the one thing that you want to make sure of when you're buying a knife is that the, or if you're investing in good knives, is that the metal part, that's the knife, goes all the way to the end of the handle, right? So it's not like metal meets plastic. It's like the metal part goes all the way through. That's usually the sign of a good knife. All right, so we have investing in a high-speed blender, investing in sharp knives. I have two more appliances for you, and then we get into some different kind of stuff. So number three is get a pressure cooker. It's just amazing, and I'm going to say get it to prepare beans and soups. You can use it for many other things, but that's predominantly what I use it for. And so moving towards a plant-based diet is one of your goals, then you're going to have to probably integrate some beans into your world and into your family. I find that beans are something that I've had a lot of picky kids walk through my doors, and my kids have always been bean and rice fans, but I know some kids aren't, but I've never had one who didn't walk out liking them. So they're a pretty easy sell. And we don't want to be eating so many canned beans. We don't want that to always be our solution. So dried beans, you would soak any dried beans except lentils overnight. But then if you were to cook them, they would take, you know, 3-ish to sometimes 4 hours, depending on the bean, to cook. And you generally have to be adding more water because the water gets soaked up. So though you can put them on low and kind of go and do some stuff and come back and stir them, you kind of have to have them in your mind for those 3 hours you're cooking them, which prevents a lot of us from making them because, you know, many of us don't have that 3 hours. So a pressure cooker, you soak your beans like normal, and there's even a trick ninja way to not have to soak them overnight if you forget. And then you just fill them a little bit with water, so you're saving a lot of water, and you put the top on, and you cook them for 12 minutes. And we have lots of recipes on the PlanSimpleMeals.com website of different ways you can make beans, but sometimes I just make them, you know, sometimes I make them like I'm making them as a dish, you know, and I put all the herbs and I cook them with an onion and a tomato and I might throw in a veggie or two. That is just ready to serve over rice. It's like a one pot dish. But sometimes I just cook them plain and then essentially they are like canned beans. They're where you would start with canned beans and then I can use them all week. And I can use them in things. I even use them in brownies and cakes. All right. So they're really versatile. And so for that reason, I love, love, love my pressure cooker. There's also an article on the PlanSimpleMeals.com website, and I will put all this into the notes on an interview I did with Nina Mandelson, who's also a guest on the podcast. And she gave a whole lowdown on so many different kinds of soups you can make in the pressure cooker. So that is amazing too. Like it's super easy to make a veggie soup, and a veggie soup is more like a formula than a recipe because you can throw in what's in season. You know, you have to pay some attention to like firm vegetables versus soft vegetables. And then you can use different spices to make it taste totally different. And that is what that post talks about. So those are pretty much like the three things that I overhauled in my kitchen. And then I want to say that number four, that sort of brings me to number four, which if you're feeling overwhelmed by just one more new thing in your kitchen, then the fourth doable change I would say is clean out one drawer that you're always searching through or one cabinet that you're always searching through. So take in your week, just commit to some part of your kitchen and really taking out what you don't need. And this is a big lesson I've learned this year. So I've been simplifying for sure. Like I'm definitely a simplifier by nature. I'm always wanting, you know, to be able to get stuff out of the cabinets. So, you know, things like, I'm trying to think, the meat roaster that I don't use except on like two holidays a year, I put in the basement. So there's some things I save, but there's some things that I have just gotten rid of. And so you just have to pay attention to, you know, what it is that you have that's just collecting dust, because that stuff is just getting in the way from you either bringing in the tools you actually need or from just doing the work you need to do. So it's always a good practice to clean out something. So it might be that one week you say, I'm going to focus on five drawers or even one drawer, or one week I'm just going to focus on appliances. Or one week I'm going to focus on plates, you know, whatever those things are that are really getting in the way of you eating healthy, you'll know what that is. So that's a really fun thing to play with if new things are totally overwhelming to you because there's just no counter space, there's no cupboard space, whatever that looks like. So cleaning out a space is doable change number four. Number five is another adding one, is buy Pyrex storage containers and ditch your old plastic ones, especially anything that doesn't have tops. So what happens to us as human beings is that we seem to collect, which is why number four is kind of powerful, cleaning out a drawer, but we tend to collect things like storage containers. And then over time, nothing actually, like it's a function problem. Like all those different storage containers we have don't stack. We can't see in them. And then there's the plastic issue, which especially if you have a microwave that you've used with the food, the plastic can leach into your food. So I think I feel so much better about feeding my kids now that I only use glass storage containers. And Pyrex is really inexpensive and it's really hardy. You could go find that on Amazon or at Costco. You know, there's lots of places that you could get that. They usually come in sets in different shapes and sizes. So that's really helpful. And once you have a set, they stack really well. And with glass, you can see in them. So imagine what that does for meal prep in a week. So play around with that one. If it feels like every time you open your fridge, it's like you feel like it's full, but you're not sure what is even in there, then sometimes that's as simple as a storage problem and working on that over the course of a week. Okay, so far, just going to recap. We have get yourself a high-speed blender, invest in sharp knives, get a pressure cooker to prepare beans and soups really easily, clean out a space in your kitchen that you're always searching through, such as a drawer or a cabinet. Buy Pyrex storage containers or glass storage containers that are part of a set so they stack really easily and you're getting all that plastic out of your kitchen. So that's five. And number six is always set up a big bowl as that beautiful fruit bowl where everyone can see it. So a lot of times, so I sort of in between, like I'm on a seesaw, because I definitely believe that food is functional, that we really need to move, like that what overwhelms a lot of us is all those beautiful pictures in Martha Stewart and on magazine covers that we see when we're waiting in line at the grocery store, because we just can't make those pink cupcakes that are totally smooth and have five perfect little shapes on top of them. So, but that doesn't mean that food, the beauty of food, doesn't help us eat better sometimes. So that's where this change comes in, which is to always have a beautiful set of fruit, a fruit bowl where everyone can see it, because this encourages us to make good choices. And if we're always thinking about color, and it's that thing that catches our eye when we walk in the kitchen, so it's put in a place on the counter where we can see it. And I know if you live in a really hot place, this can be hard with fruit flies. I am working on an article about fruit flies because we've got a great trick in our house on that one. But tag me on Facebook if that's an issue for you. Or maybe your fruit bowl lives in your fridge for part of the year, but it's somehow you've curated it. So you've thought about the colors, you've thought about the textures. It's a place that the kids know that they can go grab out of. It's something that catches your eye. It's almost like you've created this sculpture in your kitchen. And I do this every Sunday. I buy a ton of fruit and I literally create this sculpture in our kitchen because it takes up a lot of space on Sunday if I'm buying it for the week. And then what happens is as we're eating it over the course of the week, I, you know, sort of reorder it kind of regularly to make sure that fruit's not going bad and to make sure it really looks nice. Sometimes if we do have something that's in the fridge, like grapes or a couple strawberries, I'll throw them on top just so that people see them. But having that fruit bowl there as just eye candy for making a good choice is a great thing to focus on for a week. And that's an easy one to make, you know, a ritual. Okay, so last and not least, number seven is declutter a space outside of your kitchen that's always getting in the way of what you do in the kitchen. Does that make sense? So there was a time when our playroom was out of control and I would find myself walking by it on the way to make dinner and I would just like, I couldn't move into the kitchen because I couldn't believe how messy that had gotten. And so, you know, a big change I made, and Kim Jong Payne was on episode one of the first episodes, and I highly recommend all of his work, reading his books, listening to that episode, but really reading his books about this because I don't think we went into it that much. We were more talking about food on that episode, but just like creating a space that first the kids can clean. So sometimes we disempower our kids because we have like too much stuff and there's not really any like real places it can go. So every time we go in to clean the playroom, you know, we're using our minds to curate how we're going to put stuff in places. Whereas if things are just, there's not so much and they're organized in baskets, then kids can actually do that and you can expect that of them. And when you walk by that playroom, it's like, it's like a deep breath and, you know, a happy thought instead of a, oh my God, that's going to take me an hour, because then it will take you an hour. And that's an hour that you don't even need to be in the kitchen because it doesn't need to take that long, but an hour that you could have been making yourself healthier. Does that make sense? Another one, so I did that actually at the very beginning of my food journey, and I believe it made a big impact. A couple years ago, I read the Kon Marie book, The Japanese Art of Decluttering, and that actually made a big impact on me at that point too. And in that one, I really got a handle on clothes, which are another big thing that gets in the way of sort of household work, is shuffling around clothes and doing laundry and putting stuff away, and sometimes choosing what we want to wear, our kids choosing what we want to wear. So after reading that book, I really tackled our closets. And I have to say, my closet has so much breathing space now. And I just, I almost feel like I have a uniform and I'm not stressed out. Like, I'm just not stressed out when I open it. I know where things go. I definitely don't have as much as I had before. So I guess on fancy occasions, sometimes I maybe wish I had a thing or two more, but not really. Like, on a daily basis, it's so much easier and wash is easier and all that kind of stuff. So this is going to be a long one because I have three suggestions just within this one strategy. But so that's something I did that definitely, you know, it affects what happens in the kitchen. And then the third one that's a little closer to the kitchen is that, and I got this idea from Anna, who I'm not going to even try to say her last name because it's beautiful, but it's long and I always say it wrong. But she has the website declareyourdominion.com. And she recommended creating a, getting a box, like any kind of box, like a, I actually got sort of a pretty white plasticky one, but it has like pretty shapes on it. And it's about the size of a letter paper. And I put it actually on our, on a table as we walk in our house. And we have a system a little bit for like mail and keys and putting stuff away. But those things like doctor's forms, like I would file them away, but then somehow when I needed to go get them to sign a child up for camp or whatever, I couldn't find them. And tickets. So if you buy tickets for something a little bit in advance, and like a form you have to fill out for something, but it's not quite time to hand it in. All those things, they weren't quite meant to be filed away, but I needed access to them. I just put them all in this basket. And every time I'm walking out the door, I know where it is. And this actually really helps me be happy at breakfast time, because I find that's the time I'm usually looking for these things. So it's like, you know, we're making breakfast, and usually breakfast time is a busy time in our house. So I'm making breakfast, I'm packing lunches, I might even be moving stuff forward for dinner. And then it's time to walk out the door. And sometimes it's somebody else stalling us, but sometimes it's me not being able to find tickets to something that we're trying to get to. And now they're always in this box. So thank you, Anna, for that strategy, because it has totally saved my life. So doable change number 7 is pick one. You know, and so this could be a doable change that repeats. You could do this for a couple weeks and have fun with really organizing your whole house. It's a fun thing to do actually at this time of year. So this week, actually, one of mine is really around my office space. Because as we declutter, as we clear these spaces, it really does free up our time and our energy to be in the kitchen in a happier way. All right, you guys, so those are my 7 doable changes that really affect the home and the kitchen. And so I hope that some of those serve you, and that you have something that you're working on this week. And as I said at the beginning, this is not meant to be something that overwhelms and, you know, adds 49 or 7 or however many of these episodes you're listening to, or all 101 if you go download that document. It's not meant to add that many items to your to-do list. It's meant to be like a building blocks. So you're really focused on one thing, and that doesn't mean that you're going to forget it the next week. It just means that you're going to move on to the next focus as you're creating all these rituals that just become part of your life. And it's really cool how that works. And I can't explain why, and I can't even really explain how, but just trust me that if you have 10 of these things that you're trying to do in a week, most likely not much of it will get done. But if you have one and you fully like lean into that one, most likely you'll feel really great. And when you look back on the week, you'll notice that not only did you do that, but you also did other things. Does that make sense? All right. So you can go download that document at plansimplemeals.com/101changes. There's also a link for it on the homepage. And also, as you're listening to this today, on the homepage, there is a link for a webinar. I have a series of webinars coming up late soon that's going to tie together a lot of these ideas into systems that you can integrate into your life that sort of contain will help you to contain the structure of thinking about one thing of a week. And so I'm really, really excited for this series, and you can go check that out on plansimplemeals.com and sign up for your spot. And they're free, totally free. And I'm super, super excited because I feel like January was quiet and now it's time to get organized. All right, busy mamas, I will see you tomorrow on the next set of doable changes. Bye for now. Thanks so much for tuning in to the Plan Simple Meals podcast. If you like what you heard, the biggest compliment you can give us is to share Plan Simple Meals with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review our podcast at iTunes. I absolutely love sharing simple solutions to help busy families eat clean and live well. Visit healthymomsmeetup.com and come join in on the fun. In our free group, you can chat with me and other health-seeking moms, get new recipes and tips, and never be at a loss in the kitchen again. Come join the fun at healthymomsmeetup.com. I cannot wait to meet you there.